This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Someone who cares about you the way I do. Oh, I'm not bragging on myself, baby, but I'm the one who loves you, and there's no one else.
Boy, these wings at the Schnucks, Lime Ferry. The salt and vinegar, the barbecue, the spicy ones. Oh, my goodness, they are just tremendous. And I tell you what, these buffalo wings are outstanding, too. So I think Martin's right. Maybe you should just buy the wings and don't try to make them at home.
Or pretend that you made them. Just heat them up in the oven. Have a little spread this weekend. Are you going to a party? You're working Sunday night, right?
I got to work, yeah.
Have you heard of many people that are throwing a party?
I know some ex-Big Red players are getting together, but... I don't know if
any
many.
Rooting interest for an ex-Big Red? Probably not. Just a good game. I was kind of surprised that Bob Wallace said he didn't have a rooting interest because the Patriots did beat the Rams at a time when he really wanted the Rams to win. He made a bunch of money working for the Rams, but he doesn't have any allegiance to them because of the way they left.
Really? You put him on a lie detector and he's...
He said, I really don't care who wins. There's a little bit of apathy towards both sides. Now, he's still got some friends in the building. I could see that. I wonder in St. Louis, if the Rams win, if that rating will spike during the trophy presentation. Will the hate watching go to a new level at that point? Would you turn it off on Sunday if they win? As soon as it's over, let's say they win, does your TV go click immediately?
Everybody likes a train wreck.
You got to watch.
Yeah.
But
it'll hurt a lot. Oh, boy.
But most people in St. Louis, if you're at a party, I think they hit the click button.
Turn it off. Have we come up with the exact percentage? I know we actually won't come up with it, but you think it's 80-20?
That what? Are rooting against them or that are going to watch?
80-20 against rooting for the Patriots. You think that's the number?
I think that's fair. I think that's about right. I think there are some Rams fans who never kind of gave up on the team. A lot of them are younger. That was their team. That's the only team that they've had, really. And even though they left, they still like Todd Gurley. I mean, if you're a high school kid and 3 years ago you were wearing a Todd Gurley jersey, that's still kind of your guy, Aaron Donald. So I don't blame them. It's sort of shocking, but I don't blame them. I think 80-20 is probably fair. It is a little weird. It would have been a little easier, I think. The Chiefs, even though Clark Hunt did vote against the Rams bid there, or against the St. Louis version. I think if it was the Chiefs, you'd probably be talking 90-10.
Yeah.
Because there's still some Patriot disdain that's out there.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the extent in Pittsburgh. Did you hear the guy that put the Chiron graphic that said known cheater? He got fired from the Pittsburgh station.
I don't know the story.
You don't know the story? Okay, so we talked about it a little bit yesterday. They ran a soundbite of Tom Brady on a Pittsburgh TV station. And the producer for the graphic put in Tom Brady, and then underneath, instead of Patriots quarterback, it said known cheater. So the producer gets fired, but I actually heard an interview with him. He said, that's fine. He said, I was just trying to have some fun. I thought about putting Giselle's husband. So I'm like, this guy's actually pretty clever. And he said, I don't blame him for firing me. It wasn't professional. I'm guessing he's going to get another job where he really didn't like working there because he didn't seem too upset about it at all.
I mean, he must have had a file, as we say in the business.
Right.
That was not a first offense. You can't get fired.
You can't get fired for
that.
It's
not a curse word or anything like that.
And especially in Pittsburgh, yes, you have to have journalistic standards. But the fact that it's in Pittsburgh where they hate the Patriots and they hate Tom Brady, you're playing to your crowd a little bit. I mean, it's not like he put something offensive under the name of Big Ben Roethlisberger, which would be an easier firing to do in that market.
Yeah. How about the fact that the Super Bowl 34 champions, the Kevin Carters, the London Fletchers, the Mike Jones, the Tories, that they're having a Rams reunion. They sent it out to all the players. And yet, although Mike wouldn't say it on radio, Stan is not, providing food, hotel rooms, and flights.
So you're invited to a party out of town. Come on down. And good luck getting a place to stay and paying for your own ticket. That's very Stan-esque. As opposed to DeWitt, during the 2011 World Series, he flew down all the Cardinal employees for a couple of games in Texas. and they had like a section in the upper deck. I think they were there for like 2 days. If you work for the Cardinals, you got to fly down and go to games 3 and 4 in Arlington at the expense of the DeWitts. How terrible is it? If you've got that big pile of money, wouldn't that be the most fun, is spending it on other people, surprising people, instead of kicking people out of their property? Wouldn't you want to just call up somebody that used to play for, hey, we're sending you a ticket. This is Stan.
See, if any of our news directors in town had a great idea and a big fat budget, on Sunday they would send Charlie or you or me down to Texas, where the people have been booted off that area, or just talk to some people that Stan really treated shabbily in that deal he was involved in, to just get their take on it, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. There's a lot of – I think there's just apathy at this point, even in newsrooms. Other than our sarcastic comments here and there, I think there's just a lot of numbness or ambivalence to what's going on. As opposed to the Cardinals Hall of Fame with that ballot coming out, and it's a very St. Louis conversation. But I did notice Jason Isringhausen is very active on Twitter, and he gets mentioned as somebody who's on the ballot. And a guy immediately chimes in to Isringhausen and says, Mr. Unreliable.
Are you kidding?
And Izzy writes back, sorry, pal, gave it my best. And I'm like, how rude are you? And a guy gets some good news. Not the end of the world, but it's kind of nice for him. He's been on the ballot, but it's kind of a nice thing to be remembered in a good way by the Cardinals. And he still lives in the area. Who feels compelled to get it? Even by my standards, I think it's mean-spirited. I mean, and Izzy politely said, hey, pal, I gave it my best. I was trying my hardest.
See, that was the perfect response. He could have said, oh, by the way, I'm the all-time saves leader.
Right.
But he didn't.
Or, I can't hear you. I'm inside my big, beautiful home. I'll be hopping in my fancy car.
And then put hashtag career earnings 86.
Yes. Like, how petty are you? And did he blow some saves? Did the career not end great in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yes. But on the whole.
At the end, he was hurt.
Right. But on the whole, it's all-time leader in saves. And last I checked, they've had some pretty good names roll through here as closers.
Now, are you surprised? Because we were in that room, and Whitey gave his passion plea for Tommy Herr, and Tony gave his for Edgar Renteria, and Tony got on with Renteria, and there is no Tommy Herr on this ballot. I was a little surprised.
I mean, I get the comparison because they weren't the stars on their team, but they were important pieces.
Glue guys, so reliable.
But I think Renteria's resume with All-Star games, he's got a better resume than Tom Herr. If you just...
Could you argue, though, that Tommy Herr was in 3 World Series? And did Renteria play in...
Renteria would have been in 1, I think, in the 04 World Series. Left after 04. And it is hard to gauge some of these when they haven't been here a long time. Like, John Tudor was really good. His winning percentage was insane. He just wasn't here very long.
Yeah, and I love Renteria, but I would argue that Herr was a better defender. Herr was just so spectacular. And the season of 110 RBIs with 8 home runs.
And Tommy Herr was one of my favorite players.
What's the harm of putting him on the ballot?
Yeah. Well, the way it works is you, me, Rob Raines, Bernie, Derek, everybody that's in that room, you can put up to 10 on there, and then the highest percentage that comes through is what's on the actual ballot for the fans to vote on. There is a blink on some of this. I mean, I don't see John Tudor as a Cardinal Hall of Famer just because I don't think he was here
4.5 years.
Yeah, and it's nothing against him. He just wasn't here long
enough. Did you hear our Tudor stat earlier, though? That year, he had 10 shutouts. Adam Wainwright's career has 10 shutouts. I mean, that was a Gibson 68 with the 1.12 is probably the best ever. But Tudor going 20-1 down the stretch with 10 shutouts is top 5 in terms of Cardinal seasons.
It was must-see TV. It was probably on Channel 5 with Jay Randolph back then. But when Tudor pitched in 85... there was a buzz about it. It kind of had a, not at all on par, but the McGuire era when he came to bat, you stopped. When Tudor started pitching in that stretch he was on, how he doesn't win the Cy Young, that's a credit to Dwight Gooden. When you're that good and you still don't win the Cy Young, I think he was runner-up. But it was must. It's kind of like Marcus Howard and Marquette right now. When they play, Frank,
oh my goodness,
it is must-see
32
TV.
Points. I'm telling you, with them being 10th in the country and his numbers – he has got to be up there with Zion and a few others.
One of the players of the year.
Yeah, top 5 right now. He's first-team All-American.
And it's unbelievable. Not a big guy. And I know we talk a lot of Marquette here, and it gets gratuitous. But he is fun to watch. And like Bill Raftery was on the call last night. How can you not enjoy?
That game was where?
They played at Butler. It was on FS1.
Okay, so let's get
Tim Brando, Bill
Raftery.
Sports
Director, Fox 2. We have Mizzou, SLU in Illinois.
What would you rather
he
see?
He can give us a full report on the Marquette game.
100%. Well, they started at 5:30, so I did have a little early
hey,
start.
Hey, Dave, cut those SLU highlights. I didn't watch the game. But...
Correct. Oh, 100%. Chuck? Chuck knows. Hey, Martin, what do we got on this Mizzou stuff? Hold on. I'm voting on the Marquette ballot here.
I mean, to be fair, who would you rather watch
yes.
now at this
All
time
right,
of year?
Don't be mean now.
No. I was glued to the Billiken game. And very disappointed.
Yeah, Craig Mueller, our meteorologist and a Mizzou zealot, will come back. Where's the Mizzou game? I said it's on 17. Back down. Because I do have the SLU on most of them. So.
Well, and SLU is the lead. They're the better team this year. They're local. Expectations are much higher. I mean, Mizzou, the one thing you can say is they were picked to finish ninth with Jontay Porter. So there shouldn't be a huge.
That was with Jontay?
Yeah, I'm telling you. The SEC preseason vote. I'm 99% sure that was before Jonte went down for the year.
Yeah, and I don't know if you agree with my theory, is that they have a bunch of pretty good players. But a bunch of pretty good players is not going to win games in the SEC. You're not going to be a 500 team in the SEC.
How much better are they next year?
Well, those pretty good players could get a little bit better, and I'm concerned about Tillman. Not that I think he's a lottery pick, but I'm concerned that, well, he say, you know, I'll go make some money somewhere. And he could do that and make money. Now, they got a four-star, you know, four-man coming in who's going to be, I think, really good. And Mark Smith is going to be really good, I think. So they should be better. But I hope Tillman comes back.
Thankfully, the basketball ban did not affect basketball, because if you're Jontay Porter and you're on the fence, which maybe he's not, you don't want to give him any reason not to return. And, again, for those just tuning in, sanctions coming down from the NCAA on Mizzou for the Tudor scandal, the cheating with the athletic programs, basketball not hit at all, football with a bowl ban, baseball and softball, restrictions on some spending, some scholarships, also postseason bans, I believe, involving Mizzou baseball and Mizzou softball.
And if you want to be optimistic, it's been a while since Mizzou baseball has gone to the postseason. And are there a lot of people that care about softball? I know it's a booming sport, but I don't know if that is devastating. The big one is in a year that you could be special in football, you can't go to a bowl game.
Also, it's come out here, Dave Matters brought out this chunk. The report distinguished the difference between the North Carolina and Mizzou academic fraud cases. Among other differences, UNC stood by the courses and grades it awarded student-athletes in support of that position. UNC inserted that although the courses were created and graded by an office secretary, student-athletes completed their own work. Here, by contrast, Missouri acknowledged that the tutor completed student-athletes' work, and in most instances, his conduct violated its honor code. So again, here, the difference is that while UNC created fake classes, the kids actually did the work in the fake classes. Here, Mizzou, though, just had real classes, and and 12 kids had the work
done for them. Deny.
Why ever tell the truth?
Never admit to anything.
Yeah, why ever tell the truth to the NCAA after this? If you lie, apparently, you get a slap on the wrist. If you tell the truth and open your books, they come for you with everything they have.
All right, so now the question is, what does Mizzou do next? I mean, they could mount an aggressive appeal and at least delay this, you know, sanction by the NCAA. So at 12 o'clock, they'll be on a conference call. We'll find out.
I think you got to appeal. If you can push it, that's what everybody does. Even when you're guilty, you just appeal for a while and keep playing. If I'm Barry Odom, let me just see how special we could be in 29. Let's push this back a little bit. I don't know what they'll do. It sounds like they've tried to be up front and as honest as they can be, and then they get slapped. North Carolina, I'm sure, wasn't 100% honest about what actually went on there, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Somebody texting in, Frank Tillman and lottery picks should never be uttered in the same sentence. You're right, but I didn't say. He's not going to the lottery, not a first-round pick, maybe not even a second-round pick. But I do think there's a chance sometimes guys just want to go get paid. So
the NCAA credited Mizzou for exemplary cooperation, and as Dave Matta pointed out earlier, also pointed out that the tutor was not directly instructed by her colleagues to help the kids cheat, and yet they dropped the hammer. There's nothing about every angle you look at this from looks.
I know, but if you're a Mizzou guy, you can't complain about it. You were cheating, you got caught, you can't say, whoa.
But is there not a difference between one single person doing something and a systematic plan within the organization to actually do it?
Well, that'd be harsher punishment if it was systematic.
Would there not? Because UNC's was clearly the definition of systematic.
Well, they're North Carolina.
Okay. So then now we get to the crux of the matter.
I have a hard time believing that isn't part of this.
All right. One bit of business before we get out of here, for all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show, practices complete eye care in the metro area from routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery. Dr. Jones can get it done for you. He's board certified in ophthalmology. Get the laser surgery done. Nobody does it better than Dr. Michael Jones, 866-260-EYES. Now, Matt, tomorrow we are going to be broadcasting from Kingside Diner, and I want you to talk about it because you're the only one here that has actually been there. This is a brand-new location.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous location right there on Brentwood across from Shaw Park at the corner of Bonham, and they have an entire wall of, you know, floor-to-ceiling glass that just looks out onto Shaw Park.
Wow.
It's a gorgeous, brand-new facility. They opened on the 7th of January. They had their official grand opening, which is going on today, so I actually go down to Kingside before 2 p.m. today to get some great food there. And so we'll be there tomorrow, just their second day after their official grand opening. So, we're getting that place when it's brand new and it looks incredible.
And Brian astutely booked Dan Connolly at 11 o'clock tomorrow, the former Patriots outstanding offensive lineman.
I think he's on 10:59, actually.
10:59?
Slop will have to
I told him to come 10 minutes early so we can kick him out even earlier.
And I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if Connolly was coming or not. Ricky Prohl is going to check in from Atlanta. And I say we might need you to do it right at 11. We might have you do it a little bit later.
Boy, that's what you call covering your bases,
right? We are
right?
Really.
Got backup 11 o'clock plans.
Nothing against the slop, clearly. And by the way, Charlie Tuna tonight is going to be at the Schnucks. He continues his Tuna tour on Thursday nights. Charlie Tuna is broadcasting live from 8 until 10, right? No, 7 till 9.
Yeah,
7
to
9.
Right.
Charlie Tuna show tonight. He's going to be at the Schnucks.
We know it's time.
In Florissant. On Charbonneer. So the Schnucks and Florissant from 7 to 9. It's the Tuna Tour with Charlie Marlowe. one of the Chucks. Chuck Tuna will be there tonight. Coming
right.
In our Frank.
Yeah,
Bob,
what's coming up in that?
We're going to talk to Bob Lackey, who was the chief creative officer at Anheuser-Busch. I think he was Dave Peacock's boss initially. But Bob, for many years, was the creative director. They won the USA Today ad meter on those Super Bowl ads, Bud and Bud Light, the Frogs, the What's Up. What a preview. Sort of what goes on Sunday night, and has it sort of jumped the shark, the whole ad thing, watching the ads? Is it a waste of money if you're a business? AB has spent tons over the years. We'll get Bob's take. And also the idea of releasing these commercials before Sunday night, what's the value in that? We're going to talk a little bit about that with Bob Lackey, who is the only person I know who is good friends with both Tony La Russa and Kevin Slayton. How many people are in that category? I think Bob may be the only one.
We'll take a break. Broadcasting live from the Schnucks, Lime Ferry. Come on by and sample some of these incredible wings, chips, gooey butter. They do it all here at Schnucks.